Welcome back in, everybody, to a Monday edition, an overreaction Monday edition of Birds 365. The Philadelphia Eagles are 1-0. They get the win in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Joined now by Chris Franklin of NJ.com. Chris, welcome to the show, man. How you doing on this overreaction Monday?
Doing all right. It actually felt good to watch all the other games yesterday. It really felt like football was truly back. It's great.
That's the one thing I like about being a standalone game. I usually don't like them, Chris, because we have to stay late and all that kind of stuff when we're at games. But at least you get to watch the entire football Sunday if you're on a Thursday or, in this case, a Friday. And it was good to see the rest of the league. But before we get to that, and I was impressed by the Cowboys, which people will hate, but before we get to that, let's get to your overreaction. What'd you like most about the Eagles' win over Green Bay? What'd you like the least about getting out of there with a win?
The thing I liked the most was the fact that they have, at least if you want to call it overreaction Monday, I think one thing is that they may have a really good off-the-ball linebacker duo, potentially. And if at least off that one game there, I thought Zach Bond did very well. It surprised me the effectiveness that he had. The one thing I thought they did horribly, and I see that, is the turnovers. And it's the same thing we saw last year at Leto. They were able to get away with it on Friday night, but these turnovers and some of the decisions that were made, especially Jalen, especially near in those interceptions, they look really bad. When he was really good, he was on, it was really moving. But those interceptions were, they're bad decisions.
Yeah, they were bad ones. That's what I said. The thing about Jalen that I think he sets himself apart, usually when guys are playing like that, you have those turnover worthy throws, and he had two more that could have been picked, Chris, that were dropped. Usually guys kind of fall apart. He's relentless, man. He's making plays on the last drive to close out the game, even after making those poor plays. You got to play 60 minutes. Vic called the Green Bay offense an all-day sucker, whatever he called him. That's what Jalen is. Like, you can shut him down for 55 minutes, and he still might make a play that beats you. That's impressive.
Yeah, that's the thing you want for your quarterback. It's almost like you had to have that mentality as a closer. All right, you made one mistake. You got to get to the next guy, next pass, next out, what have you. So I look at that, and that's one of the things I think that's really good about that comprises him as a quarterback, is that ability to stay composed in all those things. Because we saw yesterday, there's some guys, as soon as they fall apart. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's bad. So I think that was a good thing, part of him. It was a good part of his makeup.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, Chris, the thing what you didn't like from the game, from the week one win for the Eagles.
Oh yeah, turnovers. I said turnovers are bad. Also, you know what? I think this as well too. I say the field conditions were just. I felt like I was in Arizona all over again. Like, what the heck was this thing? He's like, I didn't know NFL on ice was a new thing where everybody's slipping and sliding around, but that field was just.
Chris, are you giving a mulligan to the pass rush for the? Because of the field, because they were non-existent out there.
Because Zach Bond and Josh Sweat were able to at least, and sometimes Jalen Carter, they were able to get to the quarterback and able to get home. Why were certain other people, such as, say, Bryce Huff, wherever, and people were saying, well, he threw the opposite direction and he got it out quickly. Yeah, but it seems like those other guys were able to get there and influence him and make that throws. Yeah, I'm a little concerned about it because. If not, we saw what the counter was. Vic started blitzing a little bit more. And if you start blitzing a little bit more, somebody gets these really good quarterbacks, they're going to start picking that apart. They're going to know what's going to come, and then you're burned. So I'm not giving a mulligan to the pass rushers right now. Only thing I'll say is still early in terms of the fact that, especially for a guy like Huff, when you look at Javon Kearse when he first started, he didn't get a sack, I think, until week two. Hassan Reich didn't get his first sack until week two, and then we know what Hassan Reich did after that. So. Still very early, but it's a little concerned too.
It's early. I'm a little bit concerned, but I did give him a mulligan because of the field, and the NFL should be ashamed of itself, Chris, for putting them on that field, but they don't care. On the other hand, it's like, does Zach Bond have a savvier footwear decision-making process than everybody else? Because he was able to do some things, and Reed Blankenship played very well. But, you know, I thought the Green Bay pass rush was typically a very good pass rush. And other than Rashawn Gary, they couldn't get anything going. I one of the matchups I was most concerned about was Kenny Clark against Mekhi Becton. And Mekhi Becton shut him down. That's a really good player. So if they struggle against Atlanta like they did, then I'll start being concerned. But for right now, I'm giving them a little bit of a mulligan because of that field. Am I being too kind?
They'll sing songs about your compassion, John. They'll say, you know what, you're so nice.
That's the first.
It's one of those things where music cliches, and I apologize, but the whole thing was bad for both teams.
Yeah. Green Bay pass rush was crappy too. So
I look at more as the offensive line. The only guy I think that really had struggled that game was Dickerson a little bit. But even then, he held up better than what we saw to the other guys. So I look at the way, like, I thought they both did a decent job in terms of that as well. So Becton to me was just physical. And that's why I wanted to see out of him. Like, we know he's physical. He was able to handle the stunts a little bit too. You can say, well, I think it was more of him being technically sound and him using his strength. And that's what helped him out in that spot.
Yeah. Well, the offensive line was good. And Mekhi, you know, we'll see if that can continue. I still have my whole thought process with Mekhi. I saw my buddy Ross Tucker. I love Ross, but boy, he's an ex-offensive lineman, obviously. And he's like, Mekhi Becton was born to play right guard. I'm like, he's 6'8" with the longest arms in the world. He was born to play left tackle, which is where the NFL drafted him. Can he play right guard? First test was pretty good, but yeah. I don't think he was born to play right guard.
if he was, every quarterback's going like, oh no, I got to think of another position because you got to try to look over that and look around that mountain of a guy at the right guard spot. Yeah, good luck on that. But yeah, he did well. I mean, you look at the fact really that he was well. Yeah, you got to look at Stoutland for that. The fact that you could take, he saw something in this guy. The fact that he was like, all right, yeah, okay, he's greenlit, said, okay, yeah, I can work with this guy. And got him playing inside in the phone booth area. He did well. You got to get credit to Stoutland, Roseman for bringing him in, and everybody else.
Yeah, no doubt. We're not going to hear Tyler Steen too much moving forward, I don't think.
I don't think he will at all.
No.
Chris, I want to ask you about Saquon Barkley, man. 3 touchdowns, 132 yards from scrimmage for him, or all purpose yards, whatever you want to call it. What'd you make of his debut in Philly?
It's almost like he's really important that a certain team should let him go, because when they don't have him in part of his offense, their offense doesn't even move, Giants. But yeah, when you look at the way that they're...
Giants will not survive this.
No, they won't.
Well, Brian, I'm talking about Brian Daboll, Joe Schitt. They will not survive this. Yeah.
Especially after that Hard Knocks. But I look at the way that his usage was really, like, he ran effectively. And the one thing you love, especially when they run that zone running scheme, is one cut and go. Not a lot of dancing. You patient enough to let the holes open up, and you go. And you saw what he's able to do. And when nothing's there, he used that jump cut to find his way and make space somewhere else and accelerate. And you look at the dynamic he has, not only in the run game. You look at that catch he made for a touchdown. We're able to wear the wherewithal is not only get enough space for him so he wouldn't be out of bounds in order to and have to come back in, but in order to be able to make that catch, it was really good. And you saw you got your money's worth out of him to the point now you see all the stuff that come off of it where teams that one thing where he went in motion and everybody had to bump out because, oh no, he's coming in, he's still coming. And then you're able to get a completion off of that too. So you can do so much, and that attention that he draws just opens up so much for the offense. So I think you saw the beginning of what could be a really, really good season for Saquon. And the only caveat you're going to keep hearing is as long as he's healthy. And, you know, if they use his touches the way they did, like insert Gainwell a good amount of time and occasionally use Shipley, it'll be all right.
Yeah, we saw a little 21 with Will Shipley for a little bit of series in the red zone. That was interesting. An interesting tweak from Kellen Moore you know, the positive to me is, Chris, I don't think they even played well, and they put up 34 points. I mean, you know, it was one of Jalen's worst games ever from a grading standpoint from PFF. And they scored 34 points. You talk about that wheel route. If you watch that wheel route, watch the back seven. They did these two in-breaking routes with Devontae and AJ. The whole team went with Devontae and AJ. And all of a sudden, you got Saquon leaking out with poor Isaiah McDuffie all alone. And I mean, they could do it the opposite way next time. You could maybe somebody runs with Saquon, and all of a sudden, AJ and Devontae are open. Like, if you're an opposing defensive coordinator, what the hell do you do? Where do you start?
I think they were looking at Phil from last year, like, they're not going to throw to the running backs. And it's like, oh, wait, it's a little different now. Okay. And they got further that one. It's like, schematically, there's so little. The little intricacies of what's going on, like they could tail off a route that may have ran like last year a little bit, like a couple of yards. It opens up something behind it. There's so many variations, and I know we've talked about this ad nauseum, but the motions and stuff that set things up for these guys to use it. Simple fact of just, you know, putting AJ Brown, Devontae Smith in the slot to allow them to get free releases and do what they do, and we saw the benefits of that. And yeah, the numbers, they definitely didn't play well at all. And I think that's something they can look at the film as an office and go, you know what? If we did this and did 34, just imagine when we have a clean game. If they have a clean game, good luck trying to stop this team. And maybe shootouts, who knows? We got to wait to see the defense, but who knows? They could play a clean game, and this defense is about to be 12th, 11th ranked in the league. Who's going to stop them?
You're right, Chris.
Yeah, I don't think Devontae Smith's getting enough love either after this game. That dude's carrying people for a first down in the game, in the drive they close out the game. Boy, he's the smallest guy on the field. I was talking about Britton the other week, and he said he's smaller than Britton, weight wise, and he's carrying people. He's so physical for his size. He's, you know, AJ's AJ, and AJ's the best player the Eagles have, in my opinion. Just pure football player. Devontae might be number two. I think he's in the conversation with Lane Johnson as number two. That's how good I think Devontae Smith is.
Ooh, you can't fault him at all. He's really... He's 1B, if that. They have two number one wide receivers. Good luck trying. It's not, teams don't have that many, that luxury for that. But the fact that you're able to, you can have all the talent in the world, but there comes a time where you have to make a big play at a certain type of crunch time. And the way they relied on him in that fourth quarter to keep that drive going, to keep the 4 minute offense going. And he came in time and time again. And not only just in those catches were tough. You know, draped over in coverage, and you try to fit, like, hurt to fit in the windows, and he's able to do that. And I look at what he can do. So I wouldn't be surprised if statistically, if teams really start to overcorrect and really try to, like, double AJ again, I wouldn't be surprised if he led the team in receptions this year. I really wouldn't. I think AJ could be your big play guy, and then Devontae Smith is you work him underneath, what have you, or he's a second option when you can't go to AJ. He can lead the team in receptions. He's that good, and I think that could be possibility, especially him in the slot. But yeah, you look at the continued development in him, because one thing he's talked about in the past is how he's learned to position his body a little bit better. He learned that from AJ, to position his body better for him to be able to make those catches. He's doing that now, and you see the effect of each other helping each other out. So it's a good, he's set up to have a good, really good year here.
Chris, I want to get your take on Quinyon Mitchell, the rookie first rounder. I thought he answered the call. They went to him a lot. I thought he held his own pretty well. What did you make of Quinyon Mitchell's debut in Philly?
I look at two things. I'll compare it to that, to Terry and Arnold last night. You know, one of the parts I was watching in that. And it looked like whenever you saw confidence, a lot more confidence in Mitchell as opposed to when he looked at Arnold. When he got to Mitchell, you know, he made the play. He felt He would go up there, he start talking to receivers' faces. He'd go in there and he looked LaPorte, he looked comfortable. Where he looked at Arnold in his first game, it seemed like he was a little more timid. And then teams just started picking on him left or right. They were going in there. Packers were looking like, okay, Packers trying to do the same thing. Like, okay,
oh, yeah,
got the rookie Slay. We're going to try to pick him apart, pick apart. And he said, you know, we're not going to do that on my side. We look at Arnold. They picked on him and they had success. And the Rams had success a little bit. So I look at that and I'm like, you know what? The Eagles really did have, they got something here. And you get him rolling. They may have to do something at the nickel spot because Avante Maddox had a bad game. And maybe he's more of a safety now as well, too. We don't know that in terms of that. And they were picking on, they had to pick on somebody. Maybe eventually if Isaiah Rodgers' hand's good, maybe you roll him to the outside, you know, Mitchell into the nickel, and you go roll with that to make it better. But overall, he had a really, really steady performance in his first game.
Well, the Eagles, you bring up a good point with Rodgers and Devin White, for that matter, because Avante did not play well, as you mentioned. I think Nakobe made a couple splashes, but I think consistently he did not play well. Are they back in the conversation? And are we going to see cross training with Rodgers at some point? Because I don't want to move Quinyon Mitchell. I want to keep him outside. And that means if you're getting on the field, you got to play in the slot.
Right. I mean, who wants to cross train him as well, too? But also, the way that teams put people in the slot now, when they put, like we saw the Eagles put their big players, I don't think it's even that bad of a moniker. Said, like, said, oh, you're a slot corner. No, you're going against the top guys now in the middle. It's not like we're going to keep these guys on the outside. And yeah, you get whoever the third wide receiver is, they just stay there, you go match up. It's a big deal in terms of that. And I mean, you can do that, you can match it up, but I think in terms, you just want to get your best, say, Nickel, your best five defenders out there. And I mean, he's one of your best five defenders. The thing that shocked me the most was we saw Keeley and Isaiah in this matchup all through camp. And when they started struggling, I thought Vic may have gone switch to that, going, okay, maybe put Keeley in there on the outside, move him to the slot, but never happened too. So maybe they are cross training him. He's not thrilled about it, but you just gotta get your best five defensive backs out there.
And Devin, is he back in the conversation? Devin,
I don't think so. I don't think so. The way that they played, the way those two played, along with those rumors about him potentially being dealt, yeah, I think he's more of a depth piece now. It's a nice depth piece to have in terms of in case you need a guy who needs to be on the green dot and start calling that defense because he's done it before. But the way, you know, and I thought it was interesting, and I didn't think of much of it when they released that first depth chart before the game, thinking they had Nakobe and Devin on the same line.
The slash. Yeah, the college slash, I like to call it.
It's like, yeah, no, this is just a mess with him. Like, they're not going to start him because Devin was starting throughout the preseason with him. And then all of a sudden, there he is, and Nakobe answered the call. Am I worried about Nakobe in coverage still? Yeah, I am. I am. But at least you hope to get to the point where if he does well on rundowns, like first down, typically rundowns, first and second, you can get away with him, leave Bond as like quasi nickel linebacker, what have you, and you can rush with him or what have you, and leave him on the field. And that way you can bring your defensive backs, so you survive that way. But yeah, I can't fault
Nakobe for the way he played. I think we have to recalibrate as a society the expectations for linebackers and coverage. I encourage everyone to look at Kansas City and Baltimore. Andy Reid was going after Roquan Smith, going after him consistently in the passing game. If he's not, I would say Fred Warner's the best linebacker, but Roquan's probably in the conversation between number two. And Andy's like, I want to match up with that guy.
All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Marino's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Senator Sherrod Brown believes in our shared freedoms, our American values, and our right to the American dream, not just for some of us, for all of us. That's why he's fought back against rising costs, capping the price of insulin, and introducing laws to crack down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. This November, let's stand with Sherrod Brown, a proven leader who has always put us first. every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
I want to put Rashee Rice in the slot on that guy. And it was a disaster for Baltimore. Why does everybody expect linebackers to be able to cover these athletes in space?
Well, that middle of the field now has become a damn if you do, damn if you won't. Because remember, all we saw, you see a big shift to all these linebackers, hybrid linebacker slash safety guys that people were drafting. And they tried to even, was it Jacoby Stevens? Corey Shepard was a Stevens or whatever.
Jacoby Stevens, yeah.
Stevens, yeah. Eagles did that in the late round. So like, okay,
we had a guy who's Nick Gary too. Nick Gary was college safety.
Snake.
Didn't work.
But yeah, everybody's going through that. Like, and you see the ability of these tight ends down the middle. You if you go light, teams are going to run the ball down your throat. If you go heavy, we saw what happens when you pass it. So it's, I think it's also about just a byproduct of the way offenses are doing now. It was an old school way throwing. Nah, we're not going to throw. We're going to run our first down. We're going to run our second down. Get it short enough where we can make it tough. It's tough now to play that position.
Yeah. Chris, what was your takeaways on Kellen Moore's scheme out there? Did you see any big differences? Anything stick out to you from what he brought to the offense, at least in week one?
Well, I think the use of the motion, I thought that was really good the way it was set up. I look at the way that the two back sets, I thought that was very important as well, too, especially using that in a I think there's more to come off of that. I was so happy on that. I was so proud of that. I wouldn't be surprised if a wrinkle we see in the future, maybe you have this if you want to keep some of your offensive linemen in play, or maybe you use Calcaterra in this role, what have you. Back when he was with the Cowboys, they used the H-backs and the fullbacks, stuff like that. Maybe you use that as a wrinkle coming up. Maybe that's something that's in the you keep in your back pocket, something like that. But I look at those. I look at that. And also the personnel groupings that he used, it was like it was a good mix. Like you saw Johnny Wilson was like he dressed. I thought they were gonna maybe sit him down, what have you. But he dressed, but then he came out and had that big block and one of those pass. So you look at the little nuances. He and a lot of times these coordinators they'll have these guys up and they just sit on the bench and do it. He used pretty much every man that he had available on there and gave him a role in some ways. And he utilized their talents at some point or some what have you. So I look at those as things that he really did well wrinkles-wise in this game.
And how about Vic? What did you think of Vic's first outing?
I thought Vic and Cajon is the first to keep blitzing Jordan Love because I was like, okay, yeah, this is he's going to burn him. He's going to really burn him. And they still, I thought he did all right with what he had. I'm still concerned a little bit about the runs that they gave up. Because it was a couple of times where Jordan Davis was blocked one-on-one, which you want him drawing two guys. So it was blocked one-on-one. And there were some big holes that were opening up there. But I also think that was also some of the guys were over-pursuing. I look at the secondary did better than I thought it was going to do as well, too. I thought they were going to be a death by a thousand paper cuts at times where they were going to try to pick apart those holes in the zones, and they were stout. And I was going to do this. I want to ask him this later this week, so I'm probably giving my hand away what we're writing about, but I'm looking at the way we saw this early in training camp in the preseason games with this red zone defense, especially when they're in deep red zone. And you look at the way they played early on. They kept them in that game early because that had all the makings of a blowout setting up there.
The scoring drives for the Packers, mm-hmm. 5 plays for 6 yards and 8 plays for 8 yards when they had a chance to take control of the game and they had to settle for 2 field goals. That was the defense was great early and then slowly fell apart with the larger field. That's why it's so difficult in red zone because it's condensed and you don't have to worry about some of the things and stretching the field. And I thought the Eagles did a really good job there was the other places. And I don't think Jordan Love was not his typical accurate self, Chris. They left a lot of meat on the bone out there. I think both teams did from that standpoint.
That's why week one is always the toughest one to try to predict. And you don't never know what you see. Too many unscouted looks. You got so many teams make these wrinkles and these changes. And some of these guys just haven't played a lot in true game fashion. And it opens up the thing, well, why don't you play more in preseason, what have you? Well, the difference is you can get hurt. So, yes, it's that that's the side effect for not playing a lot, which I think they'll take that and having a guy full available for a full 17 game regular season schedule and having him fresh and, yeah, and available as opposed to just sitting them down.
I was just talking about that. I'm like, yeah, they get it, because you hear all these people, oh, he's got to play in the preseason. Like, they know they're going to be sloppy. It's, they're doing a cost benefit thing. They don't want anybody to get hurt. You want to have him for the regular season, and you probably don't have as enough time anyway to prepare like you used to in the old days. So that's the whole cost benefit thing. It's like they know they're probably not going to be their sharpest. Nobody can wrap their head around that, Chris.
Week one. Well, I got a lot of head to work with, so that's from there. But when it comes to week one, though, week one's almost like a bowl game in college. You got so much time to lay off all these teams.
Yeah.
Everybody and their mom, like, if you get this down, like, you try to pick apart what they can do the whole entire thing. And then week one's here. And then that's where the toughness comes. Then, you know, you have to prepare every week, save for a bye week. So it's really tough to know what's going to happen and scout for week one.
Chris, the NFL is back, brother. Week one's almost in the books. Just one more game. We appreciate you joining today. Looking forward to talking to you a bunch this season. Thanks for contributing today on Birds 365. Great takeaways from the game. Yeah. We'll talk to you soon. All right, Chris?
Appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah. At C Franklin News, make sure you follow Chris on the X platform. Read him at NJ.com. Does a tremendous job there. And he's a great dude on top of it. So there you go, Chris Bryant.
Great guy. He's giving you the fist, the chest pound in the green room as he checks out. Chris, thank you, brother. We appreciate it. So good stuff there from Chris Franklin. Johnny Mac, we got about 7 minutes to go on the show left today, recapping this overreaction Monday. I got two chats I want to get to from the Supers. I want to remind everybody to join in and become a member today if you want to be entered into the Saquon Barkley jersey giveaway, or if you just want to support the channel. It goes a long way in supporting the content you see each and every day here on Jacob Sports. So thank you to all of our new members today and all of our members who have been a member. So we appreciate each and every single one of you guys. You guys are the best, so I appreciate that. James Carver dropped us $20, John, before Chris Franklin joined, and I didn't want to cut him short, so let's do it now. He says, here's one complaint, J-Mac, on a good play. The pass from Jalen to Barkley touchdown was identical to his first interception pass, but the sail float worked out that time when it didn't at first. I hated that pass more than the first interception. I think James is saying he wasn't trying to be partial to Jalen Hurts on that first interception. What's your reaction to what he said there about that first touchdown?
We're talking about the wheel routes. I mean, that was everything's about execution. I mean, the problem with the throws, the interception throws, and the ones that could have been interceptions was, again, the how late they were in the process. You have to know as a veteran quarterback, Jalen has played enough now to understand you can't get away with that stuff at the NFL level. And I imagine, to Chris's point just right there about being like a bowl game, part of it is that he doesn't play and he doesn't get reps. And you can talk about practice and joint practice and trying to make it as real as possible. Until you get out there and get used to it, there's a little bit of a ramp up here. So hopefully it's cleared up just by that. But, I mean, every play is about execution. That's why I always say people don't judge play calls. They judge play results. You know, it's self-evident, but, you know, because a play doesn't succeed doesn't mean it's a bad play call, because it might be a good play call, maybe an indifferent play call, maybe a bad play call, possibly, but it's not inherently bad because it didn't succeed. Execution is still far more important than anything else when you're out on the field. And Kellen Moore will be the first one to tell you that. Because when everybody else talks about the motion and the formations, and I get it, and you got Chris Collinsworth telling you this and that and this about motion on Sunday Night Football, first thing Kellen Moore always defaults to is clean operation. You know, stay ahead of the sticks, execute, because it's more important. And all coaches know that.
Did you see the stat, John, that came out about the motion, though, with Jalen this week from Next Gen Stats? They put up thing, and it says Jalen Hurts was significantly more effective as a passer when the play featured motion, completing 15 of 21 for 212 yards and two touchdowns. Without motion, Hurts finished 5 of 13 for 66 yards and two interceptions. How much stock do you put into a stat like that?
It means he did better with motion on September 6th in Sao Paulo. You know, he had one of his worst overall games ever from a grading standpoint, arguably his worst, at least if you want to believe the people that do it on a week-to-week basis. So there was a lot of bad with some of the good, and it was a little bit turned on head because typically I didn't think Green Bay tested him as much as I thought they would when it came to the blitz, but his numbers against the blitz were very good as well. You know, but again, if you want to go back to 2022, which is Jalen's best season, obviously, they didn't use motion. So how do you explain that?
Right.
Because the execution is better. That's how you explain it.
Right.
They didn't use motion, and he played at an MVP level. So what I'm saying is, it's not the most important part. And I'm getting that directly, by the way, from Jim Schwartz, who will roll his eyes at you and with disdain go, look, if you're disciplined, it's eyewash. That's all it is. It's eye candy. Now, you have to be disciplined as a defender? Of course. So there are times when you can, especially with younger defenders, get them off their P's and Q's, so to speak. They'll always call it eye discipline. But if you get to a bunch of guys who are competent and have experience, it's not going to affect them as much. So can it work? Of course it can work. Can it fail? Of course it can fail. So what is the difference between when it works and when it fails? And the teams that use it well and the teams that don't? Teams that do it well execute better.
Right. No, good point. I see what you're saying there. Let's go to Tyson Hagen. Tyson becomes a member. Tyson, thank you, brother. Good add of new members today. Appreciate all you guys. Will be giving away that Saquon Barkley jersey tomorrow. So look for that on Tuesday. I think that's what we're going to do every week, John, is we'll do it on Tuesday. And then if it's a Monday night game like it is next week, I'm going to do it on Wednesday just to give that extra day for anybody to become a member and then to also make sure they're present and able to consume it or see it if they do win. So that's what we'll do Tuesday every week for the season and then Wednesday for any Monday night games. James Carver drops a super chat again and says, sadly, the only player I've ever cheerleaded for was Anais, and that ended my cheerleading days, especially here with J-Mac keeping receipts. Have a great day. James Carver, appreciate it, man. One of our best viewers and supporters. Thank you for your support of the program and the channel, as always, James. Good comment there, brother. Last one, Johnny Mac. We've got a minute left to go here on Birds 365. Rashid Mixon, a member for a month, thanks to all of our members. He says, hey, John, first game, Saquon is looking like the Eagles' CMC. I don't think John's going to like that one. Jalen Hurts against the blitz, 6-7 for 91 yards and a touchdown. Linebackers are looking solid. Agree? Question mark. So 3 points there, Johnny Mac, A, B, and C. Do you agree with A, B, and C?
Well, I thought game number one was very successful for Saquon Barkley and the Eagles. And I think, you know, to me, it's more about impact than the numbers. You know, he happened to be the guy scoring touchdowns, and that's great, but I don't even care as long as they're putting points on the board. And I bring up that wheel route as a perfect example of AJ and Devontae, and everybody can take a look at it. You know, half of the Packers back seven is so focused on them, they're leaving Saquon to leak out himself against Isaiah McDuffie, which is a mismatch for the Eagles, and they took advantage of it. So that's what you're looking at. Down the road, it might be people paying more attention to Saquon, and it might be AJ getting open because of that, or Devontae getting open, or Dallas Goedert, or what have you. The impact to me is far more important, and that's far more important for Howie Roseman because that's what he said. and it's about his impact on the game. To that degree, a little bit similar to Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, I'm not going that far long term. We'll see how it shakes out. Hopefully it works in a similar fashion, but there's a long way to go before I'm going to be in that category. Linebackers, look, I've been N'Kobe Dean for the past month. Didn't play well, except for the hit, which it stands out to everybody. And he was in a position to make a pick six, which he didn't make, more towards a bad Jordan Love throw. But nonetheless, he didn't make it, though. Play to play, he wasn't that good. I wish he was, because I want to be right, but he wasn't that good. Zach was great, and I didn't see that coming. I don't know anybody who saw that coming. I don't think it's going to be consistently that good with Zach Bond, but to see that upside was a really positive development.
Yeah, good stuff there from Johnny Mac. John, good show today, man. I thought we recapped the week one win pretty good. Also talked a little bit of NFL with the NFL games yesterday. NFC East, as you mentioned, looks like it's going to be the same this year. Cowboys and Eagles are going to be good. Commanders and Giants, not so good. So we'll be continuing to monitoring each of those.
That's four teams. Wins for the Eagles. Look at it that way. They should get. The Eagles always Commanders seem to
always,
find a
way. Yeah, they always play.
They always seem to find a way to lose to one of those two teams. Boy, if they lose to one of those two teams this year, with Washington is rebuilding with a rookie quarterback. I mean, they're handing you wins. And the Giants are, I can't say they're the worst team in football because Carolina exists, but they're in the conversation. The Eagles should get four wins out of that group.
Yeah, no doubt. John, last question on the way out, brother. Appreciate everybody being here. Make sure you guys hit that like button. The Eagles are 1-0, so good stuff. John, big game tonight. I love the game tonight. Maybe my favorite game of the weekend is tonight. Jets, 49ers, Aaron Rodgers versus the good 49ers roster. What do you got tonight?
I'm torn because I think I'm riding the Jets this year. I don't want to go. I don't want to be boring and say Kansas City. I think Aaron Rodgers has got one more in him. And they got a ton of talent, even without Hassan Reddick, who's going to forfeit a game check of $800,000 tonight. I don't know what the hell Hassan's thinking at this crazy point. I get why he has a chip on his shoulder, but I mean, then just retire if you're okay. But if you want money, you better get back in. I don't get, and the Jets are still so gifted. And I think you'll see that this year with Aaron Rodgers throwing to Garrett Wilson. They got a great running back in Breece Hall. They got a tremendous defense, even without Hassan Reddick. I think they're a legit Super Bowl contender. I'm going to pick the upset. I'm going to go New York Football Jets, which will make Jody McDonald happy somewhere.
Yes, it will. Our old friend Jody Mack, it will make him very happy. We'll see about that game. I'm going to join you tonight on the Jets pick. I like Aaron Rodgers. I'm a fan of Aaron Rodgers. I think he bounces back strong after the injury last year on the fourth or fifth play of the season. So, and I think I'm with you. He's got another year left in him for another big year. So I'm going to take the Jets tonight. Appreciate everybody being here. A couple extra minutes we gave you on Birds 365. So appreciate all of you guys. We had a great crowd today. Appreciate all of our super chatters, all of our new members who joined in. Appreciate all of you guys. So thanks, everybody, for your support today. And every day, as always, Birds 365 will be back tomorrow morning from 8 to 10 a.m. We will see you then. Johnny Mac, great show today, man. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Catch you tomorrow.
Just got a free coffee with my EarnIFI points.
Your what?
The points I get with the new EarnIFI app from BP and Amoco. I got 250 for signing up and more every time I fill up or buy anything in the C-store.
Oh, can you use points for fuel?
Of course.
And discounts and deals?
On anything.
Oh, like chips?
Mm-hmm.
Sodas?
You got it.
The actual slushy machine.
Only what's actually for sale. But you do get double the points for the first 90 days. Just go to EarnIFIRewards.com to download the app.
Available at participating locations only. App content is subject to change.